There's no apologies. Do we have any declarations of interest? I'll take that as nil. Confirmation of the minutes held on the 27th of June. Someone like to move that way. Councillor Mustard. Councillor Bunter. Are there any alterations or amendments? If not, I'll put that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. We have an issue in closed council, so can I get someone to move the procedural motion? Councillor Babbitt, Councillor Mann. I'll put that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against, visitors?
Yeah.
You bake the cake with it? Right, the first one there is just the mayoral commitment.
Yeah, because you didn't do that.
And I did miss one too, so another 30% on that. So I'll put that report be noted. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against, carried. The second from the mayoral minute is the general manager's performance review, which is scheduled for the whatever dates next Tuesday. And I've asked that any councillors want any raise to provide in writing. And there is something coming forward with that. So just I'll do the recommendation there. Put that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Yes, carried. The next one there is the quorum, which saved me here, the Coalition of Renewable Energy Mayors. In regard, it's quite an exciting concept, yes, but I just hope the government's keeping up the pace with it.
It's not all of Gilgandra, it's only a portion of Gilgandra Shire.
Yeah,
half of the Shire.
It's placed anywhere east of the Newell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it takes Councillor Freed's patch as well.
And yeah. West, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's out beyond there.
And if you miss out, you miss out.
So what does it mean though? What exactly does it mean?
Well, all this closing down of these coal-fired power stations, this is how they're going to supply the energy from that or replace the coal.
So it'll be solar panels and windmills.
The wind towers will be up to 300 metres high.
Mm.
Some blades will be 250 metres long.
So enough to individual farmers to accept opportunities.
Yeah, and I think this is where we need to get energy code here to talk about. Whilst they've identified these areas through the state so that they can put that backbone infrastructure there, so the new power lines and those sorts of things.
Transmission lines.
And then that'll encourage the developers to then put wind farms and solar farms or hydros or whatever they're going to put there. So at this stage, there is serious concern across the state with how this is going to impact the rural amenity of those areas. This group that's been established is being led by the Mayor of Armidale. They're quite, I think, talking to the Mayor of Dubbo and the General Manager of Dubbo, they were somewhat a little bit opposed in the views as to the opportunity, whereas the New England Res is somewhat quite concerned and obviously getting lobbied quite heavily about the impacts to their community. So whilst I put a recommendation there that we participate, I think after writing the report and having further conversations, my recommendation would be to the council to wait till we hear from Energy Co. Invite Energy Co to come and speak to us and let this sort of evolve a little bit more. I think the $5,000 to the quorum is somewhat value if we've got to then try to inform ourselves of all the technical knowledge that we need to have for this renewable energy zone, where we could be relying on the the opportunities and the coalition, I suppose, of these other councils. But at the same time, still $5,000 that could be spent elsewhere. So, Mr. Mayor, since the discussions with certainly Dubbo as to what their position is, Warren Bungles and Midwestern are supporting it. I don't think there's any great pressure for us to support it now. I think we just I'd like to recommend that we defer a decision on this and arrange for Energy Code to come out and do a full presentation to the council as to what it means.
Yeah, because I think that's really important, because like life cycle impacts and visual impacts, all of it, it's all great. Like, I'm all for sustainable energy use, but I'm also all for our regional country still looking fantastic. That's why people come out here. So there's got to be a balance there somewhere.
I should point out it's 380 metres. So you give you a sort of idea of the scale of these things.
You're including, including some of the shire, but not all the shire. You know, there's going to be costs involved. I think we need to be careful.
Yeah, well, there's two stages to the backbone infrastructure. One is from what they're proposing now, sort of through that Wellington out through to Willara area, connecting with that the Hunter grid.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another line proposed from there out to Turawena. And that's probably that second phase that we're really in ramp up for us.
But if you drive that road now, there's a lot of impact on visual amenity.
Through that Wellington area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you go from Wellington back to Mudge, you're
looking at a paddock full of plastic and wind towers, which, you know, I am completely committed to sustainable energy, but I really worry about the visual impacts and what that means for us long term, and the impacts of, you know, the life cycle of those.
So can I say Councillor Babbage would prefer nuclear?
Definitely.
Yes, I think
that would. Right
on.
At the moment, yeah. Until the technology is better and we're not subject to all this plastic being out there.
Is this an individual decision though, on if there's farmers that say yes to those proposals? So it's an individual decision from them?
I think it will be, but once again, it comes down to getting the information off Energy Code.
Yeah, I think that's really important.
Which, up in the New England area, they've been rather active, talking to council and this sort of thing. But we're on the periphery of it, and we haven't rated the date yet.
I really see this as a potential very divisive issue for our community. Something that I think we need to be very, very careful of how we actually handle any discussions with the community, and the council don't look to support, and we play a very neutral position in this. And it's probably a little bit similar to inland rail, where people are quite happy to see the benefits of it within their community, but as long as it's not on their land. And one of the things I've actually picked up just from the radio today was, I think it's called the Liverpool Plains wind farm, which is over around the Cooler area, where the government now are coming in and actually saying, if you don't agree to have these wind towers on your farm, we will compulsorily acquire a position of land to actually put it there.
Right.
So, which is new information, I believe, for those affected landholders over there. But, anyway, I think overall, like, that doesn't apply to the recommendation we've done. Happy to move, okay. Mr. Mayor, that we actually defer this decision until we have a discussion with Energy Code.
Okay, so point one is that we arrange a meeting with Energy Code. We make point two, we defer a decision on financial contributions and the quorum, subject to those discussions. You happy with that?
Thank you, Mr.
Mayor. Councillor Walker, Councillor Mann.
Just one question, Mr. Mayor. On the page 80, you've got a map. You're getting right on the edge of it there. But if they're putting wind farms around the Turawena area, where do they go to get the power? Is this main line going from Dubbo to Walra? Is it transmission line? Or
there's another line proposed that runs out through that area. So
it's not on the map yet.
Not on the map yet, no. So that's something that we certainly would need Energy Co to provide us with an update on how they're going to stage that, or stage two of this trunk infrastructure. Just to note that there is an application in for a sample wind tower down in the Kickerville area at the moment, 130 metres tall. So it is happening. Like, there is some genuine interest out there.
Yeah.
And we know about solar farms, but that one there, one sample tower for a wind farm in that area is real.
Mm. 130 metres.
That one's 130 metres.
I think it's interesting to point out to councillors that on the Energy Code board is actually a Dubbo-based farmer and solicitor by the name of Claire Booth, who people I think would know. I really rate her opinion, but she, when I did have a quick discussion with her briefly about this report, just shrugged her shoulders a little bit and said, you know, it's just such an evolving beast at the moment. So
it's look, from our point of view, something else we need to be aware of is in the delay of Inland Rail and the expediting of this process, it's quite possible we're going to be in a perfect storm between, you know, renewable energy on one side and Inland Rail on the other, and we're going to be sandwiched up with a smack bang in the middle.
Mm. And Dave, if you look at that photograph behind you on the wall, we might be looking at, you know, the green paddocks full of plastic and the hills covered in windmills. And is that what we want for our community?
Yeah, and this group is quite an interesting group in the sense that they're talking about all those issues around liability, the energy company goes, right, who's responsible to decommission the sites, what do you do with all the waste and lifespan. I think there's value in being part of the group. It's just, let's just see what Energy Co have to say, and then hopefully we'll inform our opinion. Oh, we've got a resolution anyway, haven't we?
Yep, there. So I'll put that all in favour.
All right.
Carried. Okay, if we move on to the next report, there's the Local Government Annual Conference in November at Rosehill Gardens, which is a great venue. So, two things there. Are we interested in attending? And have we got any motions you wish to put forward?
They don't have to be put forward, Mr. Mayor, until...
Yeah, that'd be
pretty quick.
I think the stock standards that we probably buy university is always a concern. Yeah,
they already have that on their books.
Yeah.
I think the question of renewable energy zones could be worth a question.
I agree, yeah.
I don't know what the question is, but we've got plenty of questions.
Yeah.
Any sterilised feral cats, right? I've got sterilised feral cats.
In response to the two letters that you've had brought to our attention regards levies and the fire, can that be ramped up at all, or would that be on a carry further than that conference?
Yeah. Well, it's well and truly been action politically. So there will be something in the conference around that.
Yeah. Social housing
and the role of the thing we've been chasing, the Department of Housing and empty houses in rural areas.
Yeah. Well, the other concern that gets raised with me is the purpose and accountability of local Aboriginal land services within our communities.
Mm-hmm. We had a go at that one, didn't we?
Mm. No, wouldn't touch it.
Well, I'd like to see it raised again because, you know, I don't think the taxpayer dollar, you know, isn't being spent well, or what is the accountability that we're trying to improve, you know, outcomes within our communities for Aboriginal people and our communities in general. But are we getting good value for money within that process?
Well, I did hear just around the traps in the last few weeks that each Aboriginal Land Council gets funding of $150,000 a year. Which by the time they pay a CEO, doesn't leave a real lot. For other things, I don't know whether they've got grants and everything else they can tap into as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure they would have.
But it's everything from,
the housing is the one that, of the vacant houses, I wouldn't know how many would belong to the land council.
Well,
it'd be a mix between state government and land council, I think. They're sitting there not being used. And
that's probably a good point, Paul, use that sort of approach to it.
Yeah.
Because I know the majority of land council houses in Gillard are now managed by community.
We do have that information which is in our housing strategy.
Yeah.
So the other one that I think is probably worthwhile mentioning is around childcare enabling, like enabling funding around for rural communities, particularly where there isn't a natural commercial interest in opening up or developing further supports. What they do, what the state government does in around enabling, rural communities to be able to provide those services, whether it be long daycare or whether it be before and after school care holiday program. That issue of around supporting families that move to rural areas away from family networks, away from their ability to be able to have their family care for kids, and then being able to have a service in town that doesn't provide that for them is becoming a real issue, particularly with the attraction of teachers, nurses, police officers, those sorts of things.
So we've got to get that through.
Social housing, childcare, and the Aboriginal Lands Council.
What about
renewable energy?
I don't know, has anything ever happened with first generational swimming pools? And
we have run that a couple of times now. I'd have to go back and check. I'll make a note of it and we'll go back and check what the response has been from that company so far. First generation pools, yep.
So the other thing, given it's November, are there any councillors interested in attending?
Yep. It's a difficult time.
November's a good time, isn't it?
It is.
Hopefully it's a difficult time.
Hopefully it's a busy time.
Mm. Yeah, that's something we might have played for in the, all the rural council.
I know to, yeah.
Mm. One thing, Mr. Mayor, I've been thinking about for a while is it's a road issue. Might be a federal thing, but all Shire roads joining highways in regional and remote areas, I believe that over time they'll need a turning lane.
Mm.
So, down the track, we're going to run out of jobs to do, but that might be a goer. It's getting dangerous as the highway is busy to get up the road and that sort of thing.
That's a fair enough point, Mark. So,
well, that might be something we can throw into this. There's a late report we've got here in regard to the National Local Roads and Infrastructure Congress.
Yeah,
we might be able to take that one into there. You feel happy with that? That's a good point. Oh, yeah. Okay, so
just in that point one there, Beck, if you can flag social housing, so childcare enabling infrastructure funding, purpose and charter of Aboriginal Lands Councils.
Hang on, David, can you go back, please? He's having a hearing, sorry.
Well, I've got those here if you can, so yeah, okay.
Right.
I'm just
going to
go back to it later.
Right, okay. I'd sort of like to move that motion.
Happy to do that, Mr. Mayor.
It's Councillor Walker, Councillor Babbage, and no further discussion on the child appointments. I'll put all those in favour.
Aye.
Against, carried. Flood damage update. There's a bit of green starting to appear there. Darryl?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, this report was generated at your request, so it's a fairly precise update as to where we're at. Flood damage. Any questions?
So what crews have we got working on the flood damage at the moment?
At the moment, we've only got the one because we've just expired the IRW side of things and we have to wait for approval to go to EPA, but we've also got a lot of other capital works that we need to do. So, it's just the one. We're finishing off some of the immediate restoration works.
So any roads that are currently on that map for you, Mr. Mayor, that haven't been received any sort of restoration or maintenance, what's the program now moving forward with those? Or is there roads that would still be funded under under some natural disaster or flood grant money?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, the roads that are green they're still subject to an EPA claim, the Central Public Assets claim.
Yes.
So we're still compiling a claim for that. So, but if we look at over the last 3 years, I would say that there hasn't been a single road within the Gander Shire LGA that hasn't received any funding.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, so every road you have to damage money, is that right?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if they warrant the conditions for flood damage, so we have a consultant go and drive the road, if there's flood damage evident there, they'll record that. But generally, they're driving all the roads and they're assessing all the roads looking for the possibility of flood damage.
So, we're done completing the site, like the
they're still working on it, but they start with the major roads and then work their way down to the smaller roads.
Well, some roads, as it dries out, they sort of come good with themselves, like if you drive smart, and especially in Black Country, it's forgiving and it sort of smooths off a bit, so not much sense looking at it 6 months later.
No.
Darryl, if Mr. Mayor, how's our Ditches Creek? Is it through the panel yet, or how are we?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the design consultant's been appointed and they're in the process of design now.
So they would have to be boots on the ground to do that?
There has been boots on the ground doing that, but no, the design phase now going forward, we go out, we have people do a survey, environmental assessment, geotechnical assessment. There's boots on the ground to begin with.
Yeah.
For the design, they don't need to be boots on the ground to do that because they've got all the information that we've provided them.
Yeah. So, when you know, as well as I do, if there's areas out there where you'll have to take levels and ticket with it.
Three years to bear with cut a surveyor, cut the taking all those levels.
I notice on that map there where you've got the green roads, that creek that is not actually on at the intersection of the Bills. There it is by road.
Yeah.
So whether it's changed over time or whether it's changed by the grading practices of the Shire, I'm not sure. Another thing on that map there, what knows Wyona Road, it's not mentioned. It's on the map, but it's not on the list of roads.
List of roads provided. Sorry.
On that northwestern section.
Oh, it's just not on the legend, is it?
It's not written on there.
Noted. Councillor Murray.
Righto, so is there any further questions on the flood damage update?
I haven't made a recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Walker. Have a second in Councillor Bunter. If there's no further questions, I'll put all those in favour.
Aye.
Yes, carried. The next report is the Bidden Creek erosion. It's taken us so long to get to it.
Yeah, with our unsealed road maintenance 22-23, did we spend all that or the unsealed road maintenance?
Oh, through you, Mr. Mayor, we're still working up through the end of the financial year, but I presume that we wouldn't have.
Yeah, so we
carry something.
We can carry that forward to cover that you saw some of this. Otherwise we pull it off at the budget for this year.
Either way it doesn't matter, because what's happened in the past with unspent operational funds where they've been offset by flood damage. Council has put that into reserves use at a later date. But I'm still projecting that in this financial year, with $1 million worth of flood damage still to be, work to be done, and we've got a massive capital works program, I would suggest that we're probably going to have an underspend in the unsealed roads operational budget anyway.
Right.
So the recommendation there?
It's a job that it's doing, but the 33,000 already spent on geotechnical investigation environment. Is there any report on that?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, we've got reports on all of those. They've been fed through to the people that are quoting on this job. They all generate reports.
So did they come up with a reason why it's happening?
Oh, no, sorry, that's not the scope of their report. No. The scope of their report is we tell them what we're intending on doing. They do the environmental assessment or the geotechnical on based on what the scope of the work is. Yeah, to try and ascertain what's causing it would be a much, much broader question.
I'm disappointed with the local farmers there over the years, like with all the air care money thrown around, couldn't have did something about it. It's happened in other areas, but just looking at this, maybe it's a long-term thing that it looks like it's water's been diverted from the main creek. There's only three little culverts there in the main creek, and that's sent the water this way, and that's causing trouble. So I imagine the Shire's going to fix it up. So.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that's the position of at least one local landowner.
Yeah. I'm happy to leave that.
Right, thanks, Councillor Mosby. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Mockler. I'll put that all those in favour.
Right.
Against, carried. We move on. There is that late report there I'd like to bring forward. Did that go on the hub?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And this is just the National Local Roads in September in Canberra. Once again, if anyone's interested, I'd like some feedback.
Just have a look at the camera first, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, I'll leave it with you. We just made the report. So I'd like to move that way. Councillor Walker, just that the report be noted and interested councillors might come back to Mrs. Berryman at the appropriate time. Moved by Councillor Walker to have a seconder. Councillor Babbage. I'll put that all those in favour. Against, carried. Okay, move on to the reports for information notation, the statement of bank balances, and account balances, outstanding matters from previous meeting.
I just, screw you, Mr. Mayor, I went through Cooey's figures over the last 2 years, and they just seem to be going nicely, don't they? Yeah.
Going in the right direction.
Yeah, great.
Okay, progress on questions for next meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to say something about that gravel pit report to later meetings. I think that's pretty important that we look for gravel pits in the eastern side of your garden. We shouldn't be going gravel from Mira Key out there to Philwena or Greenlong area. So we need to sort of open up a pit out there somewhere. There's quite a few pits there, but they're not registered. But road should be, get onto it pretty quick. Road trains and fire shipments, you can cut their way today.
Do that.
And also because we've lost a few in the inland wild, we've lost a few quarries, so we need to open up a new one.
Okay, so just a recommendation on page 20 that the report's been noted. And if you just want to put a little addendum to that, that in particular, action in regard to gravel pits. Would you like to move that?
Yes, I'll leave that.
Thanks. Councillor Mumford, seconded. Councillor Bunda. I'll put all those in favour. Yes, carried. The category A correspondence, and this was the IPART response, and then the Minister for Local Government. Recommendation that that correspondence be noted. I'd like to move that, Councillor Babbage and Councillor Bunta.
Can we say that with concern? Can we say with concern?
Yeah.
You know that with concern?
Yeah.
I actually found those letters quite unhelpful.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time to write such rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, was that
recorded?
Yeah.
I'll put that. Do we get the moves on this? Yep.
Yeah.
I'll put that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Yes, carried. And category B correspondence was Telstra and the OneWeb. And the recommendation there that category B correspondence be noted. Councillor Peard, Councillor Babbage. I'll put that. All those in favour?
Aye.
Yes, carried. And that, councillors, is the end of the formal part of the business. And at 4:45, I'll declare the meeting closed.